I've got some words of wisdom about the moral and cultural issues we're facing.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just recognized the gunshots and then heard this huge explosion, and I knew immediately it was a bomb. And I just bolted as fast as I can.
You don't think it's real. But then people started running and running and running. So we clashed and it fell over each other. It was just total chaos.
Tragedy in Istanbul, Turkey. Another suicide bombing attributed to ISIS. This is Michael Brown. Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire. You know, as much as we hear these reports over and over again, and the statistics of dozens killed and hundreds wounded, unless we've ever lived through something like that personally, unless it's affected families of ours, unless we were actually there when one of these things happened, I don't imagine we can relate to the trauma of it. I certainly would tell you that I cannot. But I do have a lot to say about these issues and a whole bunch of other moral and cultural issues we're facing today. To join in the conversation today, to call me with your questions, comments, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. We posted a meme yesterday that's getting a lot of attention on our Facebook page. It's reached over 600,000 people and been shared more than 10,000 times. On the one side of the meme, the one side of the graphic, is a picture of the Orlando murderer, the mass killer, Omar Mateen. And he says, "I do this in the name of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and Allah." He explicitly swore his allegiance, to ISIS and to the head of ISIS, wanted to make that as clear as he could in the midst of the murders. And then Chief Law Enforcement Officer, Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who is Chief Law Enforcement Officer of the United States of America, she said, "We may never know the shooter's motivation." I see comments like this, and they are just so utterly grievous. We all know, if this person had been part of some white supremacy group that claimed to be Christian, and he said, "I'm doing this in the name of Christianity. I'm doing this because of what the Bible says." Of course, the Bible doesn't tell you to go out and murder gays and lesbians. But if he said that, the media, everybody would be all over it. The president, Loretta Lynch, they'd be saying, "We must deal with Christian homophobia, et cetera, et cetera." There's no question about it. There's no question about it. Dennis Prager wrote a column about that I referenced a few weeks ago on the air. What if it had been a Christian that had carried out the murder in Orlando? If there had been something else going on, and they stated what their issue was, you know, let's just say it was a work-related thing, that somebody used to work at a particular place and got fired and felt they were fired unjustly and came in and started shooting people up. You know, they call it workplace violence without hesitation. But when it's radical Muslim violence, why is that not recognized? Why won't the government, for the most part, acknowledge it? It is again seeking to whitewash Islam as a whole. It is again seeking to deny the murderous elements of radical Islam. It is again an affront to common sense and an affront to our security. Now, I haven't read widely on the bombing in terms of all of the reports, just getting back from Australia and just getting back on schedule and overcoming jet lag and things. So I may have missed this, but tell me if you've read, has anyone mentioned what happened with Israel and Turkey renewing relationships last week? Has anyone tied that in as a potential motivation for the bombing? We'll be right back. 866-342.
Thank you.
Join Dr. Michael Brown along with Messianic Jewish pastor Scott Volk for a unique behind-the-scenes tour of Israel, February 25th through March 6, 2017. Space is limited, so we're accepting applications on a first-come, first-served basis. For more information on the trip and to secure your spot, please visit our website at AskDrBrown.org and click on the Israel Tour banner or call our office at 704-782-3760.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Yes, a reminder, if you have not yet signed up for an Israel trip, go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and just get your deposit in, and we can't wait to welcome you along on the trip. Okay, 866-34-TRUTH to get in the discussion today. Just got a note, there may be some folks who are actually talking about the suicide bombings in Turkey. And so what I want to focus on just for a moment is this. Turkey and Israel had fairly good relations for a number of years. And Turkey, as a Muslim nation, was extremely, extremely secular, which explains the good relations that Israel had with Turkey. Now, Turkey wanted to become part of the European Union. As I recall the events, the European Union shunned them. And as a result of that, that pushed Turkey over to a more forceful Islamic position and even to a more radically Islamic position, even though the nation still as a whole is more secular. In other words, it's nowhere as religious, say, as a Saudi Arabia or a place like that, or Iran, for that matter. So there are now renewed diplomatic relations with Turkey and Israel, and even limited aid coming in to Gaza from Turkey. Obviously, it's got to be humanitarian aid, not weaponry. And apparently Israel has access to this massive, massive underwater gas treasury, whatever you want to call it. And they just need access to certain waters and would have to work with Turkey. So apparently that's all part of what's going on. But the announcement of that could certainly trigger an attack. There have been attacks within Turkey having to do with Kurdish liberty movements and things like that. And again, just horrific bloodshed. But the common pattern over and over and over and over and over and over and over again is that it's radical Muslims killing each other. The first casualty, the highest number of casualties to radical Islam are fellow Muslims. When Iran and Iraq went to war years ago, this was Muslim versus Muslim in the 80s. And Iran looked at Iraq as secular. And even though they both have a majority of Shiite Muslims, the majority of Iran even greater compared to Sunni, the Iranians looked at this as they were fighting against the infidels. And of course, that's how it's going to be phrased and posted both ways. Okay. So the first level of attacks are Muslims killing Muslims. It happens regularly in Iraq. We just don't hear about it as much on the news, but Muslims blowing up Muslims happening all the time. Sunnis blowing up Shiites blowing up Sunnis. Within a country like Yemen, it's Muslim killing Muslim. Syria, Muslim killing Muslim. Now, there are many Christians. This is the next level. There are many Christians who are getting killed and exiled. A horrific number. It's a real attempt to wipe out the Christian population from the Middle East by ISIS and other radical groups. The suffering is intense and acute. And as I mentioned last week from Australia, I met two Syrian refugees, two young men who thanked me for being their voice. It was very moving and touching. They're from Armenia originally, but have lived in Syria for years. And they just talked about how many of their friends and family members were killed. How many? You're not just talking about three or four the way they were talking. You get the impression they're talking about dozens and dozens of people that they know personally killed. So the first level of attack, Muslims killing Muslims. Next level of attack, Muslims killing Christians. And then you also have the specific attack on certain groups like gays with ISIS, apparently, according to the what they've put out in video, in honor of gay pride, throwing homosexual men off of buildings. So, I mean, they're doing that, shooting them up in a nightclub in Orlando. That's what they're doing. But let's understand, this is what radical Islam does. This is the murderous nature of it. And if you want to combat it, you need to understand it. You need to recognize it. Now, Secretary of State Kerry has been under fire for a statement that he made. Kate Scanlon reports on The Blaze. Republican congressman told Fox News, Fox and Friends Wednesday, that he is shocked by Secretary of State John Kerry's claim that the terror attack at Istanbul's Atatürk Airport is a sign that the Islamic State is getting, quote, desperate. Referring to the Islamic State as Daesh, Kerry said during remarks at the Aspen Ideas Festival Tuesday evening that it's been more than a year since they launched the full-scale military offensive. He said, now, yes, you can bomb an airport, you can blow yourself up, that's the tragedy. Daesh and others like it know that we have to get it right 24/7, 365. They have to get it right for 10 minutes or 1 hour. So it's a very different scale. And if you're desperate and if you know you're losing and you know you want to give up your life, then obviously you can do some harm. According to Representative Mike McCall from Texas, who is the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, the Islamic State is not on the run, but on the rise. The administration has said they're on the run for many years. They're not. He said, I think the airstrikes have ramped up external operations. Now, look, we're not there on the ground. We're not there on the ground actually dealing with this. We're not there on the ground face-to-face with what's happening. So how can I give you an intelligence evaluation as to whether ISIS is on the run or on the rise? I can't. Here you've got someone from Homeland Security telling you that it is the case. But how do we know? How can we say that's obviously I can't. But to just downplay it as desperate is really to miss the point of what's going on. This is part of the ideology. This is always part of the ideology. There are always radical Muslims every day of the week ready to blow themselves up for the cause of Allah. There are waiting lists. They would do it every day in Israel around the clock if they had access, if they were able to get past Israeli security. This would be happening every single day. This is so to interpret it as, well, this proves that they're desperate. No, it proves no such thing. It proves no such thing whatsoever. It proves that this is what they do. And again, the idea that, well, it's just suicide bombing and anybody would, you know, that they can't go on with the normal military offensive. Maybe they can't, but this is just another part of the strategy. And I don't know what's going on again with the military offensive because I'm not there to evaluate the intelligence. And there are people that are saying different things. So we just leave that as a question mark. The whole idea of lone wolf attacks in America, the whole idea of, well, this is nothing, and you can't connect it directly to ISIS unless you have a clear logistic connection where, you know, this one worked for ISIS and they were told to do this, that. No, if they're inspired by it and then they go out and commit acts, to me, that's not lone wolf. To me, it's not lone wolf. It doesn't have, I know it's a definitional issue here, but it doesn't have to be part of a sleeper cell. You follow what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be part of the guy's part of a sleeper cell and they've been working, you know, covertly with ISIS for years or covertly with Al-Qaeda or Taliban. No. To me, if they're inspired by the ideology, remember, ISIS has a massive social media campaign. If they are inspired by the ideology, relate to it and pledge allegiance to it, and then are encouraged to go out and do whatever they can to destroy, and they take the target on themselves, they figure out what to do, how they're going to do it by themselves, that to me is not lone wolf. In any case, this to me, when you have Attorney General Loretta Lynch saying what she says with all respect to her office, this to me is nothing less than utter willful ignorance, refusing to acknowledge the facts. Let me grab a call before our break. We go to Chelsea, Massachusetts. Jeff, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Mike. Well, as far as Turkey's concerned, yes, Turkey's bad and so forth, but you know what? let's look at this as a learning picture of what's coming to America. Because you see, our borders are wide open. I can see this as clear as I can see my porch right now. I see Muslims putting IEDs on the highways of this country. There is no defense against an improvised explosive device on a highway or snipers on a roof. People will be afraid to leave their house. Nothing is going to be done until Obama's term is over. If Trump gets in, then things will be done. If Hillary gets in there, America will slide more and more into a third world Islamic communist country. If you want to know America's future, look at Iraq. Look at Syria. That's America's future if America does not wake up.
All right, hey, we got a break. You got your message out there, Jeff. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Now here's another aspect of what we're dealing with radical Islam, friends. And I continue to use the term radical Islam because I recognize there are plenty of Muslims who do not agree with suicide bombings, plenty of Muslims who are here in America and who love America and who appreciate the liberties in America and who despise radical Islam. Now, you may say they're not true Muslims. You might say they're moderate Muslims, and a moderate Muslim is not a real Muslim any more than a liberal Christian is a Christian. That's fine. I'll still use the terminology to be specific. So I get attacked from the one side saying, no, all Muslims, true Muslims are radical. I get attacked from the other side saying, no, radical Muslims are true Muslims. I'm going to use the term, though, for specificity and for clarification. 866-348-7884 to join in the conversation. I saw an open letter to Franklin Graham posted in the Charlotte Observer where she says that he misrepresents the faith of Muslims. And one thing that she mentions is the famous quote from the Quran that there's no compulsion in religion. Now, how do you explain that when compared to the verses that do speak of conversion by force or pushing forth Islam with some level of coercion or force? How do you explain that? And the answer would normally be, from those who recognize the theology of radical Islam, that in the earlier days of Muhammad speaking, it was stated there's no coercion in religion, so Muhammad trying to get along with others and have his new message accepted was much more moderate and was hoping for good response. When he didn't get good response and when he grew in military power, things changed. And then the Quran allegedly gives the new revelation, which then would theoretically abrogate the earlier one because that which comes later is more authoritative. And you say, well, doesn't that mean it's unevenly inspired? Well, of course, we would question whether it's inspired at all. I'd say it's not. But just look at it from the viewpoint of reading scripture. If you see something in, say, Leviticus, and you wonder how it applies, you keep reading the rest of the Bible into the New Testament. So we would see in that sense that God doesn't contradict himself, but something may be for a time and season, and then at a later time and season, things would be different. God would be dealing differently with different people for different reasons. So he may have given the dietary laws to Israel to keep them separate from the nations, but then he didn't necessarily give them to all people under the new covenant. We can understand things like that. So I have no problem with a Muslim saying, well, this was revealed at this time, this was revealed later. Again, I differ with them, but I understand what they're saying. But the fact is, the most warring passages, the consistently warring passages, those are in the final chapters of the Quran in terms of when it was revealed. Remember, if you read the Quran, you're not reading in chronological order. In that respect, it's somewhat of a mishmash. After the opening chapter, Al-Fatiha, after the opening chapter, the chapters are listed simply in size order. Simply in size order. That's it. So the Surah of the Cow, that's the second chapter, the second surah. Why? Because it's the longest. And then when you get to the end, and they're, you know, just like three verses long, the chapters, that's at the end. So there's not a logical chronological order. So you need to know, okay, according to Quranic scholars, when was this revealed? When was that revealed? And then you can put them in order. So why is it that the passages that are the most warring, the passages that are the most violent, are the ones that are in the final chapters revealed? Well, that would reflect the career of Muhammad, who started as a spiritual leader, then became a political leader, then a military leader. That would reflect his own trajectory. But again, what we're seeing left and right in our society, I'll have a special guest joining me in the next half hour. If you are unable to listen on your radios, you can listen online at Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. But he, among others, is saying in the aftermath of the Orlando massacre, we now have to address the homophobia that comes from religion in general, their concept, their words, the homophobia that comes from the biblical teaching that homosexual practice is sin and that gay relationships are not valid or blessed in God's sight, that's demeaning and dehumanizing, and it's a short step from there to murder. Of course, I categorically disagree. It's a short step from saying God's ways are best to go out. Well, then let's go out and murder people. God forbid. But we're hearing that cry day and night. Well, let's be reminded by the tragedy in Istanbul. Let's be reminded that, once again, this is the fruit of radical Islam. And when you have, say, the gay pride event and they're standing against homophobia and Islamophobia, yeah, I understand there are plenty of moderate Muslims. I understand that. Whether they're true Muslims or not is a separate debate. But please, please, don't deceive yourself with this stuff about, well, Islamophobia is evil, homophobia is evil. Boy, oh boy. You know, I remember during Operation Cast Lead, Israel's war against Hamas a few years back, that there were demonstrations in some cities, and some of the marchers supporting Hamas included radical feminists and gays and lesbians, and they were attacking Israel. I'm thinking, wait a second. In Israel, radical feminists are a dime a dozen. In Israel, if gay, sadly, gay pride marches in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv voted the world's most gay-friendly city a few years ago. In Hamas-controlled Gaza, you're going to march down the street as a radical feminist. You're going to march down the street as an openly gay or lesbian. If you won't be instantly killed, there'll be a mob riot and you'll be in jail and suffer terribly. And yet they're standing with Hamas. Interesting how deception works, is it not? All right, let's go to Wayne in Brooklyn, New York. Thank you, sir, for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, how you doing, Michael?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm very curious because, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, and I believe this is a sort of a Christian show, aren't you supposed to win these souls to Christ? You shouldn't be alienating these people, you know, by calling them, this hate-filled language that you're using.
What's hate-filled? I accurately describe their ideology and their beliefs.
No,
what's hate-filled?
You describe it as you see it. But
Wait. Hang on. You made a serious accusation there. Actually, you sound hate-filled towards me. If I can be honest with you,
I'm not hateful towards you. I'm trying to get you because what you do is you help to radicalize a lot of these.
I do. So now, they're listening to Christian radio. And when hang on, Wayne, when I'm accurately quoting the Quran, as understood by leading worldwide Muslim theologians, that's hate filled. And when graduates from my ministry school that I support are laying their lives down to win Muslims overseas, I'm not trying to reach Muslim souls.
No, yeah, by continuing to use this language.
What language?
It's the language of hate. That's a hate.
What language of hate?
Because you're describing somebody's religion as a religion of hate.
I'm saying radical Islam. I use radical Islam,
right.
Wayne. All right. Tell you what. Listen, I got a break. I've got a guest coming on, and I've got a break. But I want to talk this out with you. If you can hang on, I'll come back to you. Friends, be sure to visit the website. We've got an exclusive special offer only available through our website that will bless you. Go to AskDrBrown.org and be sure to check on latest articles and videos. We posted a bunch.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Okay, I've got a guest coming on in a few minutes, but I've got a couple minutes to get back to Wayne here. So Wayne, let's be as simple as we can. You make an accusation that my speech is hate-filled. Please give me one example of where I have said anything hateful about Muslims.
You don't see it, right?
If I saw it, I wouldn't do it, sir.
Because what you're doing is you're grouping all Muslims, whether you think so or not, together as terrorists, and they're not.
Well, Wayne, you're grouping me. You're claiming that I, as a white man, say all whites hate Muslims.
No, I didn't say any white.
Exactly. I just put words in your mouth. Wayne, just listen to me. You 100% are not listening to a word I say. I use the term radical Muslims to separate them from Muslims in general. And now
Muslim. All right, let me say something to you. The Ku Klux Klan is no more Christian than those Muslims are terrorists. Okay?
That's nonsense. That's complete nonsense. They are committed
Christian
Muslims.
People?
The Ku Klux Klan, of course not.
Is the Klan committed Christians?
Of course not.
Okay, so nobody calls the Klan Christian terrorists, do they?
Yeah, plenty. The liberals do. Yeah, but they're wrong.
No, they don't. Come on, stop. Of course they do.
I deal with this all the time. Of course they do. But Wayne, have you read the Quran?
I have read parts of the Quran. Yes, but I was a Muslim at one time. But here's the thing. You're not going to win. Because this is a spiritual fight.
Unless
Christians are willing to strap on a pack and go and fight terrorists, they should stop antagonizing these people. Because what you do is you put regular people like me, who's working every day, and you're putting me at risk with your language.
Putting you at risk, Wayne, the fact that you refuse to listen. The fact that you are so ingrained in what you're saying, you refuse to even listen to what others are saying. We must warn about radical Islam. At the same time, we must reach down to all Muslims.
Wayne, listen
to me. The Quran, text after text after text, there are several hundred million Muslims who affirm this theology. There are leading Quranic scholars, leading Islamic theologians who hold to these things. The head of ISIS has a PhD in Islamic theology from Iraq University. They understand. This is an expression of Islam that has been here for centuries, sir. If you deny that, you're denying reality.
Well, here's the thing. You don't necessarily have to see what you do is you give credence to what they're doing by saying that they're Muslim, they're radical Islam. What you do is you say, hey, this is a recruitment tool. We use this. See, everybody, they're against Muslims, and this is how they recruit. And whether you want to accept it or not, see, it's people with that kind of speech, like Donald Trump, like your friend Donald Trump.
Wait, my friend Donald Trump. I've gotten. All right, tell you what we got to do here. Listen, Wayne, your problem is you don't listen. I want to be as plain with you as I can. The Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. I want to talk to you plainly. You're not listening. As of yesterday, I had a guest on who explained why he's still never Trump. I get blasted every day because of my concerns about Donald Trump, although I hope I'm wrong about him. If you were to call him my friend Donald Trump, of course he's my friend, and then to equate what I've said with statements he's made means your whole problem, this probably reflects a lot of other areas of your life, sir, I say this in love, is you don't listen. You don't listen. Until you listen and understand, you can't speak constructively. And tell you what, I'll put what I and my team are doing to win Muslims against what you're doing any day, because that's precious to us, winning Muslims to Jesus. And yes, will also warn about radical Islam.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can we talk about Islam and terror targeting the LGBT community? What about all the bills that were introduced by the Christian right, American Christians, under the premise of religious freedom? Anti-gay sentiment has only grown stronger in the face of progressive change and is going to continue to grow. And that's why I'm concerned with marking this just as an act of Islamic terror on American soil. This is an attack against the LGBT community and should be viewed as such. Don't be fooled by the rhetoric you will hear in the media this week, as people are going to definitely use this to push their own agendas.
All right, that was the voice of Hassan Piker. He's an entertainment political journalist known for his explainer videos on the Young Turks. I'm sure you've seen them online. They're viral. The Young Turks that provide detailed analysis on the top news stories of the day. Aside from covering pop culture news on the Young Turks entertainment channel, Pop Trigger, Hassan is also a regular contributor on BuzzFeed and TMZ's 2 Fab. And I think Hassan and I are going to have some different perspectives, but hopefully our interaction will be constructive. Hey, thanks so much for coming on to the Line of Fire, Hassan. Nice to meet you on the air.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Sure thing. Hey, before we discuss your comments about the Orlando massacre and your larger concerns with people like me who have a conservative Christian position, I understand you're fluent in Turkish. Obviously, the bombing yesterday strikes close to home. In your mind, does this have anything to do with Israel and Turkey renewing relationships and perhaps an attack for that reason?
Well, yes, I actually covered it last night. And just to clarify, I grew up in Turkey until I was 18. I am personally agnostic. However, I grew up in a Muslim household, and my parents still live in Turkey. So I am very familiar with the attacks. I'm very familiar with all the other attacks that have occurred on Turkish soil in the past 6 months. Four of them specifically, only one has been linked back to ISIS. There's Kurdish groups as well. Right. Now, what's going on in Turkey is, yes, like you said, Turkey has a dramatic attitude shift in their foreign policy. And this is a product of the new prime minister. And there are a lot of economic and political factors that play into it. And they are Turkey is apologizing to Russia. The conversations have started. After 6 years, Turkey has basically amended its position with Israel. Trade agreements are happening. But most importantly, this is presenting a massive threat to ISIS in the Middle East, because Turkey is a massive military force. And up until this point, Turkey had not viciously fought ISIS as much as other states have. And I think now that's going to change, and ISIS is aware of this. And that this was more of a retaliation for that, to instill fear upon the Turkish public.
Got it. I appreciate that analysis. I had just gotten back from Australia Monday night and just trying to catch up on life in general, so I hadn't read as widely. But as soon as I saw the attack, I thought, boy, if ISIS is behind it, it's got to be related to the Israel situation, if it could have been planned that quickly. But thanks for the input on that. All right. You and I would have fundamental differences on many things in terms of worldview, et cetera. We would agree that every human being is worthy of protection. We would agree every human, that murder and acts of violence under no circumstances are ever justifiable, period, and that any theology that espouse that we would denounce. But in your mind, there's a connection between what happened in Orlando and conservative Christians opposing redefining of marriage, or do you say there's not a connection, but they're related issues to be addressed?
I think I don't think it's directly linked back to Christian sentiment. So I actually didn't know what I was expecting. So I watched your Orlando coverage, and I thought it was quite fair up until the point that and I thought it was, you did a really good job denouncing the pastors that spoke about the shooter and praised them for doing what he did and denounced the homosexuals, because, or said that they were deserving of death. And We agree on that, that life is more important than anything else. And but then you also followed it up with an interesting guest that you had on, who was a former lesbian who found Christ and turned back into heterosexuality, has marriage, and is happy. And I'm really happy for her. I'm happy that she's happy. But the fundamental disagreement that you and I would have on that is probably that we think homosexuality is a choice rather than something you're born with. I happen to believe that it's not something that you choose to be. I think it's something that you're born with. Now, the reason why I mention that is because when you think about it as a choice, and then you think that this is infringing upon your religious freedom whenever we're passing stuff like progressive movements like allowing gay marriage, legalizing gay marriage, or having the LGBT community covering the LGBT community extensively in the media, I feel like there is this backlash in the face of progress, and it derives from Christian Judeo-Christian values, primarily coming from the conservative right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so just so you understand plainly, I don't believe that someone chooses to have homosexual desires. The majority of folks would, as far as they can tell. I look at Tammy's situation as a little different, the gal that was interviewed on the air, because she identified as a heterosexual, and then just with her involvement in the gay community, began to identify as bisexual, then really bought into the fact that she was lesbian and thought, boy, maybe this is how she was born. But that's not the normal experience. The normal experience is as kids growing up, they start to realize they're different. They start to realize that they're not attracted to the opposite sex as their friends are. Many who are raised in faith homes go through a deep crisis over this and agonize over it. And they pray and they cry themselves to sleep wanting to change, and they can't. So I don't believe there's reputable scientific evidence that anyone is born gay. I mean, it's still discussed, but that it's nothing that they chose, that it's very deeply ingrained inside of them. They can choose to act on it or not. But no, I certainly don't believe they choose to be gay. So let's just talk about this constructively then. So if I believe that it's fundamentally wrong to redefine marriage for many reasons, yes, based on my religious beliefs, but along with that, for many societal reasons, and I say, okay, it's wrong to redefine marriage, so I'm going to oppose it in the courts if I can. I'm going to oppose it, democratically. Yeah. And if it becomes the law of the land, well, am I going to go and blow up a gay community? I mean, there's no connection. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm going to differ respectfully. Yeah. But how, if I then say, hey, look, but I want to be protected, I don't want to have to do something, just like I don't feel, say, a gay t-shirt maker should have to make t-shirts that say homosexual practice is sinful. I don't think that should be imposed on them to say that the baker has to bake the cake. I differ with that. So I want to preserve religious liberties and say, okay, I differ with you. If I can reverse this, I will. But right now it is what it is. And I'm still going to treat you as my neighbor and my friend in the midst of our differences. Do you have a problem with that? Because how we coexist right now is a big issue.
Yeah, I think so. What I was trying to say earlier is, so we now know that the shooter was gay, most likely, right? He was on a gay app. He had frequented the nightclub before, and I'm assuming he had sort of mental disorder as well. And that's an assumption I'm making. It's not based in fact at all. But like, I think when you decide to pull the trigger and end a human life, for one reason or the other, you, unless it's like to protect your family or unless it's to protect your country, there are different reasons for why you may do that. But like in this case, you obviously have some sort of mental deficiency that led you to feel that this was the right choice. So, but aside from that, the reason why I mentioned that he was gay is because there's this anti-homosexual rhetoric. There's this narrative everywhere, right? And it's based off of religious doctrines, and then it may be some sort of like, because you mentioned some sort of social reasons for why you think homosexuality is possibly not the best practice. But this sort of narrative makes it very difficult for people to accept themselves. for people to be happy in their own skin, for people to be happy with for people to be happy with what they want to be. Like, they can't, if we're going to say that homosexuality, because I believe that homosexuality is not a choice and you're born that way, I don't believe that it's something you can change. So when I see this sort of negative rhetoric around against homosexuals, I think that only further escalates people into making irrational choices, irrational decisions, and then paired up with how easily accessible weapons are, which is, I know, something that we are also not going to agree on. And then on top of that, with some sort of mental deficiency, I think these sort of explosive, crazy things happen.
All right, tell you what, got a break. First, I'm not a member of the NRA, so I'm not going to debate the gun part with you. That's very secondary. But a couple questions for you when we come back, all right? And one is, what if someone watched Young Turks and then wanted to go out and kill Christians?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We need to confront and we need to hold people accountable for the toxic, murderous homophobia and transphobia that is continuously pumped into our culture. And the main source, the wellspring of that toxic homophobia and transphobia, is religion.
All right, that was the voice of Dan Savage. I would assume that my guest Hassan Piker of the Young Turks agreed with what Dan said. So, Hassan, a couple of questions. Let me get these out, and then you can respond freely. We've got about 8 minutes, so I want to give you as much time to respond as possible. And my goal in having you on was not to win a debate, but to have honest discussion. That's why we asked you to come on. And hopefully we can continue it in another setting. Okay, but I get hate mail, death threats, death wishes constantly. Simply by saying, listen, we love everyone. If there was going to be violence against a gay or lesbian person, I was there. They have to get past me. But nonetheless, I believe kids should have a mom and dad. Nonetheless, I don't agree with two men marrying or two women marrying, etc. So there's nothing I say that's going to lead to an act of violence. It's quite the contrary.
Yeah.
And I've been talking about this. Right. But I hear rhetoric against our side constantly. So my first thing would be, what if